Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Pony Development Sync for March 15th in the year 2022. I'm your host, Joe McElvain. If those others on the call who want to say their names to introduce themselves to those listening along later so people could put a name to the voice, now is a good time for that.
Hi, I'm Sean Allen.
I'm Chris.
And Jason.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Red.
Great. So let's get started with the bullet points in our auto-generated agenda for this week, starting with, as we often do, those pull requests in the RFC's repo that are tagged with the discuss during sync label, beginning with RFC pull request number 200 in the RFC's repo. This is Ryan Hagenson's introduce new numerics pull request. So anything we want to discuss here, we can and should. I know that we had a few comments in the ticket about whether these new numerics should go in built-in or not that we could discuss further in the sync. Now might be a good time for that.
I don't think they should.
Where would we prefer to have them? Just directly in math, or do we want to make another packet?
I don't think it makes sense for math. They're data types. They're completely usable outside of quote unquote math. I mean, they're useful for many things, which are not what I consider to be math. But I think all of our others are in built-in, right?
Yes.
I think it's reasonable to put them in something else, numerics or something else. And for each one of the ones where I assume this is getting broken apart into multiple different RFCs, explain that the others are in built-in, but these are not going into built-in because things that are in built-in are basically we try to keep really limited. And here are the reasons for putting things in built-in. And this doesn't match any of those, which is, you know, it's needed to start up a basic program, right? Like ENV going in there and bars go, array goes in because, you know, it's needed as part of a ENV and blah, 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 et cetera type stuff.
Okay. I mean, that all makes sense to me. I'll update the RFC to introduce a numerics package for these extended numerics. I don't think there was anything else that we really needed to discuss. I had the unresolved questions. We answer the first one, you know, should these be introduced in built-in or math? anyone have any issue with the name rational being the quote-unquote fractional type, or do we just want to call it fractional to avoid confusion?
I'm fine with that.
Fine with calling it?
Sorry, we're fine with rational.
Okay. That's what seemed the most consistent to me across like other programming languages, so that's what
that's what I'm familiar with it being called.
Do we want to add a decimal type to this proposal?
I think it makes sense to have in there, especially when we're pulling these out of built-in.
I'm confused. Are we planning on accepting this RFC, or are we planning on doing a number of different RFCs?
How do you mean? I meant to have this introduced numerics be one whole RFC, but then as the RFC was last week, it was expanding math, and there was a bunch of other stuff that I split off.
Yeah, so it looks like the math stuff's already been split off into that other branch, right?
So why would these be part of one RFC instead of individual RFCs? Beyond saying, okay, we're going to put all of these in the same location, Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't we do RFCs for each of the individual ones that, rather than trying to stick them all into one RFC? What's the point of putting big int in with rational in an RFC? It just seems like it makes it harder to discuss what's going to go on for big int and what's going to go on for rational, because mm-hmm. now we have two basically separate things, and complex, big float, the same type thing I think applies.
Okay.
I'll say it is helpful to have, like, you know, the hierarchy of types, you know, the kind of high level view of where the new types are going and
I
how they relate
that.
To each other is interesting to have at the high level view. But the specifics, I don't know, could go into more detail. I don't know. Yeah.
If this was, oh, okay, we're going to have this, and then we generally believe they'll fit like this. Okay, but I mean, like, I don't know. I'll read it again some more. I don't, like, there's, I would want to see more detail on the implementation of these things than it's here. Okay. And I was assuming that each of these things was going, that this was going to be broken off into like four different RFCs.
I mean, I still could, but that was not my intention with the split that I suggested last week. The split I suggested last week was to break these introduction of numerics into one RFC, like what we're looking at today, and then split all of the other stuff off into discrete RFCs.
What is the other stuff?
So like the introduction of a series package for mathematical series. Like constants package for basically creating a location. Like we have some of the constants on our floats already, but creating a constants for those mathematical constants that people go looking for, and then they get confused because it's not in math, but it is on our floats as they exist today.
So I see nothing in here, for example, for the actual implementation of rational. I see nothing indicating beyond one thing and how we test it, that this will be, generic. I'm not sure exactly what that, so this, the generic here is that indicating the nominator and denominator, like mm-hmm. key part of an RFC is that I should be able to go back and look at the RFC, and if somebody opens a PR for rational, I can go, that meets what we agreed upon. Right. So that's why I was assuming that there was going to be additional RFCs so that we would have that level. This makes sense to me in the sense of we believe these things should fit here within the hierarchy. Right.
Yeah.
And if that's what this was, and then it changes then because it doesn't become the how we test this, et cetera. There is no testing for this. This is an agreement. Well, maybe there is some sort of testing in the sense of this is an agreement of where we believe these things go in a number hierarchy. We will open RFCs for each one of these. And those RFCs are the actual quote unquote testing of this when we go to actually do the RFCs for each one of these things. But we believe in general, going forward, this is where in the hierarchy these different things should go.
Okay.
That would be a completely good one to me. And then we could have ones for RFC, big int, big float, complex, whatever they are, for what is the implementation, what are the methods we bring over, we say we agreed previously, they implement these traits, mm-hmm. you know, because they go in this particular place, and detail. Additional detailed stuff.
Yeah, I think that the current RFC kind of as its scope currently is, it does have value in the sense that it provides the high level view, and we can say, oh, well, you know, maybe we don't want to name this one this name. If we're naming the other one with this name, it would be more consistent to have this. So we have like the high level view that we can kind of agree upon about like what the types are named and where they go and how they fit in the hierarchy. And that's kind of what this covers right now, which I think is valuable on its own.
Yeah.
Yep. And then I think for unresolved questions, really, it becomes, that we need to do ROCs for each of these other things, right? We actually need ROCs for the actual implementation, but those RFCs should be guided by what we've agreed to here. And that unlike other RFCs, if this gets accepted, rather than it generating issues on the PonyC repo, I think really it generates issues on the RFC repo, right?
Yeah.
And we say, hey, here's these four things. These are all official requests. And then people can start working on those. People being perhaps Ryan for all of them, perhaps other people.
I mean, that sounds good to me. Trying to think of the next steps for how I should change this.
So I would say update the unresolved questions to like Sean just said, to make it so that it's saying, okay, the detailed implementation of each of these is still unresolved and will be resolved in future RFCs. And like we talked about moving them out of built-in and into numerics, and then it might be at a place where it's, you know, ready for final comment period and voting.
Okay. Can do.
All right. I will move the discuss at sync.
All right. The next one we had in our auto-generated agenda is RFC's pull request 193.
I don't think there's anything really to go over on this.
Nothing new. Okay.
There's nothing new. Pierre saying he won't update this anymore. Ryan saying thank you for what you put in on this. Hopefully somebody else will pick it up.
Yeah, I think I just forgot to remove the label. Okay, RFC's issue ticket 104. Expose the Pony version during compile time. Sean, we skipped discussing this last week because you weren't here, but you posted a comment wondering if compile time expressions could be useful for this kind of thing.
Yeah. I also worry about, I think for this, I would want to see, compile time expressions, and how would this play with our ability right now to type check everything, right? Because if we have the ability then to compile different versions of Pony, how can we make sure that this type checks with every version of Pony? Or do I need to have like CI where I literally do every version of Pony? I think there's a lot of, I can see the value in this. I worry about some of the details on it.
Yeah, I think those are valid concerns, and I would probably share them as, especially if things get in, like if there's new syntax in the parser, like how can we even be sure that we can parse up to the point of that conditional? How can we be sure? Like, so aside from the concerns you mentioned, yeah, the additional concern for me would be like, how can we be sure that we can actually, you know, support the syntax of the file across multiple versions of PonyC, where the parser may change in specific ways? Like, I don't know, if there have been changes to the language in the past where, like, for example, partial calls, where partial calls need a question mark now attached to the call site. They didn't prior to some point. So prior to some point, the parser would error out before even getting to the point where the Pony compiler would look at the static condition and try to ignore the block. It could fail even before then. So things like that are also trouble, I think. Any other comments on this issue ticket? All right. Moving on then to the PonyC repo, we have pull request 4055. This is from Gordon, updating to LLVM 14. It looks like there's a breakage. I'm not sure if that's, there's a definite breakage going on.
Yes, Gordon said there were some things that did not work at the moment.
Okay. Yeah, so Gordon says he's continuing to investigate. I guess we'll wait for Gordon to either say he found the issue or request backup.
Yep. And one thing I dropped as a mention on there was we turned off Windows debug builds because for some reason, sometime around the time we updated the LLVM version last time to 13.0.1, we started getting a lot of hanging in the Windows debug builds. So we turned those off. And nobody's sure exactly what was causing them, but I suspect it was the LLVM based on the other things that went on. They're given I eliminated a couple other things, so hopefully maybe that would fix something. I don't know. We've definitely Windows debug builds have been flaky in the past. The fact that they were working for without any issues for several months was kind of amazing, and we were really psyched. But well, we'll see.
All right. So moving on to issue ticket in the Pony C repo number 4052. This is one from me. TCP listener.accept gets stuck in a busy loop on certain errors. Sean, have you already had a chance to look at this at all?
I ran through it and I understand the gist of what you're getting at here. Okay. I think it would be reasonable to say that as you do in this, is that there are some highly unlikely errors, but still possible errors, which are simply not handled based on the combination of the runtime code and the TCP code above it.
Yeah.
And yes, bad things would happen in those cases. Yep.
The yeah. The running out of file descriptors thing I actually hit in one of my projects. Just as an FYI. So
what platform were you on?
I was on Linux.
Okay. Cause I've observed it on Mac OS. I hadn't observed it on Linux yet, so it's good to know that it's also there.
So I was generating about 12,500 outgoing connections and it was a mess. So I did it to myself. I don't doubt that, but it was interesting because it was intermittent. That's what I couldn't get my head around because there's no reason why it should be intermittent. So anyway, I digress.
Well, if it manages to get through and, you know, and close out the connections fast enough, then because it'd be just the simultaneous like open connections.
Yeah, if I did like three or four runs, if I did like 5 or 10 runs of the same program, one of them would like fail to close one of the actors. So, if that makes sense.
But, yeah.
All right.
So yeah, thank you. So the next steps on this were I can work on this and fix it. But I think we have to kind of decide how we want to fix it. And as a first step toward that, my final comment on this ticket is like a list. I went to the manual page for Linux to start with. I can do Mac OS and BSD as well. But I went to the Linux page to start with and like just took stock of all the errors and kind of how I think we should handle each one. And so that is a list that's seeking feedback from anyone else that might want to chime in about where they may disagree with, or there's actually one error that I have no idea because it's really not very descriptive, which is eProto protocol error. What protocol are they referring to? Are they referring to TCP protocol? Are they referring to the protocol of calling the function? It's not clear what eProto is or how we would respond to it. So if anyone has ideas about either that or anything else in that final comment, please chime in. And if we get some kind of consensus about how to handle these errors in the Linux examples, I can extend those to Mac OS and BSD, and I can update the code base both in the, well, maybe on the runtime side or maybe on the Pony side or maybe some combination of both to get these things handled how we want to handle them. Anybody have any comments here on the call before we move on?
Do I have any comments?
I mean, basically, I put the errors in four categories, but right now we only have kind of two categories of how we handle errors. And really, my fourth category could be lumped into one of the other two and probably not be a bug. Sorry, one of the other three.
You mean impossible is as being the category?
Yeah, I think impossible could be handled as either being the same as pause or the same as done accepting. I think that would be an acceptable way to handle those quote unquote impossible errors, because we're not expecting them to happen, but we just don't want an immediate retry because that would be a busy loop.
Yep. So I think that the impossibles, what's the difference between pause and done accepting?
Yeah. So that would be the new distinction that we would add here. So are you familiar off the top of your head with the pause mechanism we use when you, so there's the limit that you configure when you're creating the actor. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if we get like five, if we say at the limits of 500 connections, then when we get to 500, we will terminate this loop and set paused equals true on the internal field of the actor. And that means we'll try again the next time a connection is closed or the next time we get a readable ASIO event.
So I feel like the impossibles shouldn't be any one of these three. If we get the impossibles, I think that we should be like basically just shutting down the socket, because something is definitely very wrong.
Okay. When I was thinking of lumping it into the other two, I was just trying to avoid adding a new path of things we have to check for. So if I was thinking like just to avoid overhead, to try to lump it into one of the existing paths. But if you think there's some other path we could take, then you can look at that.
I mean,
I just felt like the worst case, you know, it's just like, okay, every time a connection closes, we try again, we get the same error. It's like, okay, well,
I'm also okay with either impossible or impossible becomes retry immediately, where basically we're just ignoring the existence of those things because we believe them to be impossible.
Yeah. And then I guess if one of them ever showed up in a real run, and then so if we put them in retry immediately and they showed up in a real run, we'd get a busy loop and then we'd have to debug, you know, which error it was, which we could do with a debugger.
So that would be, I'm completely good with that. I would rather base the, if it creates code which is harder to maintain for something that I don't think should ever happen, right?
Right.
Then it should only ever happen if we're making modifications to this and then we're already ready to debug it, right? Then I'm okay with putting them into retry. So that's interesting to me.
Okay.
My one concern is that how do we end up catching these bugs, or are they going to leak into programs if we do have one?
And if we put it into retry, then if one of these did pop up, then it would be in somebody's program. They get a busy loop.
They get busy. There is literally nothing that we can do for these impossible ones, though. These are things that should never happen.
What I'm thinking is that we actually do something that could result in an error message, or could result in something that's like useful output.
I mean, we could go to the listen failed, notify, like we could hit the notify object with the listen failed, not a message, but function call.
Yep, that would be reasonable. I think that would be good.
I prefer that.
Okay.
That would be good. Yep.
Anybody have ideas about the eProto one? In which category it goes in?
I think it's in... Let me go look up eProto for TCP IP again. All right. I used to know what that was for. So eProto, eProto is supposed to be treated like EA again.
Are we sure about that?
Yeah.
Hang on a sec. On that note, this is an important point.
This is in the accept man page that.
So it's listed in two places on the accept man page. It's listed in the top section where it says, in the case of TCP/IP, then these errors can be forwarded, you know, on the already pending network errors, basically. So it's in that list. And then it's also at the bottom of the man page.
So the bit that I'm reading for the BSD socket man page is that for reliable operation, the application to detect the network errors defined for the protocol after accept and treat them like EA again by retrying in the case of TCP/IP. These are ENET down, eProto, eNo proto opt, eHost down, eNoNet, eHost unreach, EOP not support, eNet unreach, right?
Yes. Yeah, so I saw that too, but then if you scroll down, it's also at the bottom of the man page as a separate listing. Okay. But maybe that doesn't matter too much. Okay. The other thing I would say about that is for reliable, so the section you just read says for reliable operation, the application should detect the network errors defined for the protocol after accept and treat them as E again by retrying. Mm-hmm. But I don't think we actually want to do that. I don't think we want to treat them the same way as E again.
In the sense of the way that we treat E again, or in the sense that they mean?
In the sense that of the way we treat E again.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Yeah, I would agree with that there. I think that it becomes a retry immediately.
Yes. Yeah, and that's where I had those in this list.
Yeah, well, and I think eProto goes in there as well.
Okay. Yeah, it's just, it appears in the list twice. Okay, I'll remove it from, okay. So I'm typing a comment about that. Okay. Any other concerns about the categorization and how handling these, or do we have kind of a basic consensus about this where I could move forward and start fixing it? Or actually, like I said, the next step would be to look at the list for macOS and BSD and confirm. But apart from that.
I mean, they're BSD sockets, so they should be the same. I would certainly hope they're the same. Yeah. So, no, that's good by me. Yeah.
Okay. All right, then I will, I'll just audit the macOS and BSD and then... to make sure there's nothing unusual there, and then take the approach in a pull request.
Should I put you as a signee and
yes,
and I will not put a help wanted then. If you're going to add any, I'm leaving the discuss during sync in case you're adding notes, so you could remove that afterwards. But I did the other housekeeping.
Okay. Notes. All right, so I'll get started on this fairly soon. So I'm adding my notes. Going to remove the discuss during sync flag, and off we go to the next ticket, which will be 4038. LLVM IR verification failure. This is another one that is assigned to me. And the label's still on here.
Is there any discuss during sync needed for this, really, or the other?
No, for these two, I don't think we need to discuss during sync. I'll just say if anyone else wants to take this assignment from me, but get like pairing help from me, that would be appreciated. Otherwise, I'll take a look at this.
Should I take you off as an assignee then?
Sure.
Okay. I will do the same for the next one as well. All right.
If anybody wants to help with this, like that would help me if I was like pairing with somebody rather than just doing it. So yeah, if anybody wants to take a look at these, I will help you in whatever way I can, or if some time passes, I'll take a look at them. But yeah, so that was 4038 and 4037. Now moving on to 4023, improve libponyc run execution time. This is, yeah. So Sean, you had asked a question. I said, I'm fine with that approach. And I also listed another approach for consideration. Do we want to discuss that more here?
Let me take a look. I'm putting a...
Okay.
Okay. Which one again was this?
4023, improve libponyc run execution time. So basically you said, if you turn on verbose output, we switch to sequential mode, as a way to solve this. I do think that's a simple way to solve it. Mm-hmm. I think it's acceptable. I just wanted to throw in there another idea that I have used elsewhere, which was basically the test runner is buffering output from all the tests, but for the one test that it selects as current, which is just arbitrary, it selects one test to be the current one for printing, and it will print the output from that test live, and from all other tests, it will be buffered until one of those tests is either selected as the current test, or if it finishes, it will print all of the output in between. So that would still be just a special case of being selected as the current test. There's ways to do that, but that's more complicated, and switching to sequential mode on verbose is a much easier way to solve it if we want to do it that way.
So I for a comment, I would add, I'd like to start with the simpler approach because it's easier maintenance, right? Of the test runner. But if we have need in the future, then we could switch to something more complex. Sound reasonable?
Yeah, totally.
Okay, I will add a comment to that effect, and I will relabel this to be help wanted and good first issue.
Okay, so we have issue ticket 4014, compiler assertion due to not fully reified lambda during reachability analysis. This is filed 28 days ago. There is an issue with type parameters going into type parameters from the outside that appear within a lambda. This is a tricky area of the compiler, and I don't have any immediate ideas about how to help with this.
Okay, neither do I. I'm going to leave the needs investigation. I'm going to take off the discuss during sync. Clearly, would you agree with the very broad statement I'm about to make, Joe? Something's broken in reification.
Yes.
Yes. Where something's broken in reification might be that something before reification is leaving things in a state which reification is not expecting, right?
Yeah.
In which case, technically, it's not actually reification that's broken. You can argue that about semantics, but yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Is there any chance you could briefly, for those listening at home afterwards, not me, because I totally know what reification is. Can you just give a real high overview of what it means?
So generic types have type parameters, right? And when you get the fully, so a generic type, basically you pass it type arguments into the type parameters, and that's kind of instantiating a new type that is using the generic kind of as a base, right? And it takes the type parameters and fills them in with the type arguments. And what you get is this unique type that was created from the generic type. And that process is reification. So the reified type is the type that has its type parameters filled with type arguments to get a concrete type rather than a generic one.
Okay.
Which fits with the definition of reify, which is to consider or represent something abstract as a material or concrete thing, or
yes,
to give definite content and or form to a concept or idea, where a generic type there is a very specific type which comes from this generic type when given those type parameters, right? And that is reification in this particular meaning.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, and thanks for asking the question. It's good to have questions like that and to be able to answer them. It's better to ask than not to ask, so thank you. So moving on to, before I move on, we're about 40 minutes in. Does anybody have any special topics they want to raise before we continue with the auto-generated agenda items? Okay, moving on then. We've got, issue 4008, investigate failing Windows CI debug tests. I think there's an intermittent failures in Windows CI. We're not sure what's going on.
These are currently off. Someone would need to figure out why they hang.
Okay.
My suspicion at this point is that it's probably the LLVM version. There were a few things that changed, but I'm not positive.
Okay. Moving on to 3987, incorrect information in the Pony suspend threshold help string. This has a help wanted, but it looks like we have a contributor who is interested in doing it. At least 23 days ago, they were interested in doing it. They said later today, 23 days ago. Oh, yeah.
I forgot to make a note to actually do that, but last week when I investigated this, I found Sean had said that we say that 1 million is approximately 1 millisecond, but in the code in another place, it says that 2 million is approximately a millisecond. So I was wondering, does that matter? Should I just go with the 1 million is approximately a millisecond?
Go with the 1 million and remove the 2 million one.
Okay.
This is all random guesses based on somebody's clock speed.
Okay, yeah. It took me a while, then I forgot about this because I was investigating. You had said that it was stored in a U64. And what I was finding when I was looking for the documentation text was... 32-bit int, and so I was hunting around and I found out it does end up in a U64, so that's fine. Because at first when I saw that, I was like, wait, so the max value would have been like 4 seconds or something like that if it was a U32, but it gets converted somewhere else.
Cool. Great. So any unresolved questions or anything else on that?
No.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right. You pulling the label off of that one?
Yep. Can do.
I just realized there might have been a change with those Windows debug tests. So I'm rebasing.
Okay.
That master and trying to... Did I delete the branch? Oh, I deleted the branch. That's why that did a thing to me. Okay.
Let's look at 3727. This is titled Verify Pass Partial Application of Function with Negative Default Argument Expression Causes Core Assertion Error.
Oh, this is a fun. This is a fun one, man.
I see it was, the last comment on here is you asking me 29 days ago, Joe, do you have thoughts on the proper approach here? Good question. I've not looked at this closely enough. I somehow missed this mention. Sorry about that.
So let me try to summarize everything that's here. All right. In a quite reasonable fashion, the negative one right there, right? Like negative one gets turned into everywhere is a call to neg on the literal one, mm-hmm. right? This is how this is implemented everywhere throughout the compiler and it's handled. However, default art for in the partial application path, this is not correctly handled. Like, it expects that there will be no, it does not expect to hit this when we're going down the partial application path, but because it is handled, it is correctly handled in the regular normal call path, but there's something in the difference between what that happens with partial application where this never gets handled correctly. The two things are is either is to go back and figure out where it should have been handled in the partial application one, or accept that this is supposed to actually be a thing which is valid when we get to this point in partial application.
At the refer pass, a normal call with no partial application to the method gives us call.1 ID neg, whereas elsewhere we have call.sequence1 ID neg. Is that the difference, one versus sequence one?
What are you looking at? Where?
I'm looking at your February 3rd. Oh, you have several thirds. Your third comment from the bottom, where you have a listing of what the AST looks like for each example. Mm-hmm. So is the difference that we're looking at here one versus sequence one?
So what I was pointing out was that Borja's workaround. This is the difference here. But in the end, that's a workaround, which floats down a different path, right? The real problem is that when we get into the partial application stuff, we never expect there for a literal to be a receiver of a call.
And you say in call.c, is call.c in the expression pass or call.c in the verify pass?
Oh, that's a wonderful question. I really should have been more clear.
Partial application is a function not in the verify pass. It's in the expression pass.
I think it would be expression.
Yeah. And we're doing build with the okay, so it's calling lambda. AST type call receiver result goes boom eventually as the type comes back as a literal is what you wrote.
It really is. There is no expectation that a TK literal is the receiver when we get to that place in partial application. I'm thinking that partial application should be able to handle this because that's a valid thing to have there. That's my thought.
But the negative one is in an argument of the call, right?
And it's the default value.
Yeah. It's the default value.
It's the default value and it's a call. It's a call as well in the normal path and it works fine.
And where's the boom? Where's that the AST type of call receiver being unwrapped?
That's the one way up from the very beginning. In lookup.c, we end five, up in lookup.c okay. In lookup base, because lookup base is not, that's right. I forgot about that. Because it ends up down in lookup base where lookup base never expects there to be a literal. So actually right. There's probably something that gets done in the non-partial application path, so that we never have that problem.
Yeah, like inference is probably supposed to turn it into a different type. I'm actually not super familiar remembering how the literal inference works.
And I'm as we go along through this, I'm remembering things. That's right. Yes, that's right. My thinking was that because this is in lookup base, the problem is actually before we get to part, the problem is before we get here, right? It's not that we should be supporting literal there. It's that something should have been done beforehand so that that's no longer a call by the time it gets there, is my suspicion, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I think really probably what we need to do is have a simple program where we understand by the time we get to this point, we need to understand what exactly is happening in the normal case and then figure out where partial application isn't correctly doing whatever is expected, because by the time it gets to lookup base, we don't want to be hacking something in there.
So Sean, can you remind me, AST underscore type and AST underscore set type, this is referring to like the type in the type system, right? Not like the type of AST node. AST ID is the type of AST node, right?
Yeah, yes. Yeah, AST so, type gets us the type, yes.
Okay. In expression pass in literal.c, there's a function on line in my repo, or sorry, my local clone, it's line 882. That is in this literal. Is dealing literal member access. Yeah, literal.c line 882 is a function called literal member access.
Yep.
And this is handling if you have like, you know, like a numeric literal with a dot or a tilde or a chain. And it is setting the type to TK underscore operator literal on line 914 on my copy.
Yep.
And is this what you saw in the assertion? Is this the unhandled case?
No. The unhandled case is that it's actually, no, it's a TK literal, which is the receiver of the neg call in lookup base.
Okay.
It's a TK literal. It's not a TK operator literal. It's a TK literal.
And then under that function, just the next function, there's a function called literal call that is only like on line 940, it only proceeds through the function to the later steps. It's like guarded by if the receiver type, the receiver type has to be TK operator literal in order for it to continue. And if it does continue, then it goes through a bunch of steps. And at the end, it calls make literal type, and make literal type sets it to TK literal. Okay. So, all right. So that's probably happening as desired. So why is that not handled? Where's lookup base being called from? Do we have a backtrace anywhere in the ticket for this?
I don't think we do. Unfortunately, okay. I don't think we put that in.
Okay.
I get one fairly quickly, I think. This is 3727. Hold on. Scratch. CD 3727. Do I have a binary? Hey, I have a binary already. Isn't that wonderful?
It's probably coming straight from lookup. And then where's lookup coming from?
Okay. Okay, right. Okay, hold on. LDB, -pony C, run, backtrace. It's in verify. It's in the pass verify is where I'm getting it. Pass verify, verify function call, lookup base. Let me make sure that I have the correct code here. All right. Yep. Okay. I'm adding the backtrace.
Oh, this is is it line 17? Yeah, I'll wait and see what you add there. verify function call. Okay. So that is in, yeah, it's in call.c. Check partial function call. Is it? So the lookup's not happening directly. So did it get like with some stuff inlined? Are you using a debug version of PonyC or a release?
Release.
Okay. So it's looking up the original method definition for the method call. So, and are you still in LLDB right now?
Nope, but I can be in just a moment. Okay.
Yes. If you could go into the like the look the frame where the lookup function is, so frame 4, and if you could print that, sorry, I'm forgetting what I need to look go where that is. The AST, if you could AST print the from and the type okay. Argument.
I don't do that very often for the debugger, so I don't remember how. I'm going to have to go look that up.
It's like the AST print. So yeah, like P to print, and then so P space AST underscore print.
Yep.
And then the variable name and then comma like 80. And then that's the...
And what's the variable here?
There's two I want to see. There's from and type.
Okay, from 80. Apparently it's saying from is not... It's saying there's no from.
Could be the release build. Yeah. We're almost out of time here. I can try to run it locally and print the results of that and maybe have some insight based on that.
Okay. All right.
We have 4 minutes left. Anything else? We could go into one more agenda item probably. Let's see. Compiler seg fault on a match with generics 3447. This might take more than 4 minutes to talk about. So Jason, December 20th, 2021. So there's another contributor, WUHKUH that had a fix. Okay, we just don't have any information about the fix. But do we have the branch that they worked on?
That's a good question. Let's see. Do we have a fix? Wait, we'll compile. Okay, so it seems to be failing in gen match. This was like back trace here. So it's else block. No scenario crash as a source code. If we added an else, else block, indeed adding an else block. Oh, okay. So wait. So this is a wait. Where was there? Yeah. Huh. I'm not sure what the. So what were they going to PR? Or something? I don't know. I'm confused now reading this. Oh, it would be a... Yeah, no. I thought they had a fixed thing, but I don't think they do they?
Yeah, they said they'll send one as soon as the fix is correct, but...
And they don't have a fork. I just looked at their GitHub user account. They don't have a fork with a branch or anything. So, at least, or did I miss it? Maybe they do. And let me GitHub changed their UI, so I'm not sure. Do they have a fork? They have 18 repositories. Is PonyC one of them? No, PonyC is not one of them.
Yeah. Okay. So there's still. I'll just add a note that there's no fix. That this still needs a fix. I'm going to delete my comment. I'm going to leave it at, did you make any progress there?
So I already asked that in December 2021 and they never responded. So
I'm just going to put it, this still needs a fix, and then remove the discussed during sync.
Generic containing a union class tries to mask itself. There's a missing else block. Okay, so the compiler is seeing it as an exhaustive match. Is the test case, is it a real exhaustive match or isn't it?
I think it's another, it was a variation on the one with generics. So it is exhaustive, but I think it turns into an impossible, a match that is not necessarily possible to implement, right?
So in the original, it has, so it's possible for you to be either U8 or dealer Val, and, or it could be the union of U8 dealer Val, neither of which, okay. So this is being wrongly called an exhaustive match.
Is exhaustive.
Not if. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, it is. It is an exhaustive match. So, so how are we getting to the place where it's trying to use? So it's a real exhaustive match. We need to somehow guard. So, because, yeah, next block should be null. We don't need to add an else block if it's truly exhaustive. Where is the crash happening? Do we know what line here? Genmatch.c. If there's no possible match, jump directly to the next block. Okay. And yeah, we can't generate that for null. So if there's no possible match, jump. Okay. Okay, I see what's going on. The on line 824 to 825, it's trying. So yeah, there's just a little bit too much cleverness going on here. So I can kind of, you know, recap. I know we're over time. Anyone can leave if they want to, but I'll just recap it just because I have it fresh in my mind. And it can be on the recording. So what we have here is a match that is exhaustive, and for exhaustive match, we detect it's exhaustive and there's no else block, right? So there's no else none that comes implicitly along with the match. We know that one of the cases covers all possible types, and so we don't need to generate an else none. That's good. It's working as correctly. It's all good. And because it's a generic, some reifications of the generic will not actually hit all of the some cases will not be possible in certain reifications of the generic. So what we have in the original example was, it could be U8 or dealer Val. So if U is U8, then we know that the U8 case will always work. And so it'll always use case one. Case two will never match. Or if it's dealer val, then case one will never match, and case two will always work. So what this probably should be using is if type, because if type would let you statically mark that. But this, go ahead.
Oh, I mean, it could need the match. Just it might not need all of the cases, so you could still pass another union to that. So if type is a tiny bit weaker.
Because if the U type argument was the union type, the literal U8 or dealer val as the union type, then both match cases are possible. That's true. So anyway, that doesn't change what I was going to say, which is, so what we're hitting here is the case where dealer gets reified with U8. And so we know the match is exhaustive. So there's no else block. There's nowhere. And that means the latter case, case two, has no next block to jump into at the LLVM level. We have not generated a next block for it because there's no possibility of it going to the next block, but there's also no possibility of it matching in the first place. So it
is literally jumping to the next block, except there is no next block because in this reification.
Yeah, it's like it thinks that there's three things that could happen in a match like this. It could be the first case, it could be the second case, or the else case. We know that the else case is impossible because it's an exhaustive match, so there's no block for it. But we're doing code gen for the second case, and it's in the middle of code gen for the second case, and it's saying, hey, I see that this is not actually a possible case, so I'm going to jump straight to the next block. But instead of doing that, like there is no next block to jump into. So there's nothing you can do here except for mark it with an LLVM unreachable instruction, which is what we should do. So this is actually a fairly simple fix. So let me get the right line numbers here for posterity. And I'm going to get on the latest main branch just so.
A24, A25, I believe, still, right? You're talking about if there's no possible match, jump directly to the next block. That's still A24, A25, and gen match.
Yeah. So this is what I would do here is just around the line 824, 825, put a guard and check if next block is null. And if next block is null, then you call LLVM build unreachable. And that says, hey, you'll never get here. And bad stuff happens if you get here. But you don't need a terminator at that point, right? It's building. The reason it's trying to jump directly to the next block is because every LLVM basic block needs a terminator. And so here the terminator is, okay, if you somehow get to the second case, then just jump straight to the else block, but there's nothing to jump to. And so what we want is unreachable as the terminator.
I'm not familiar with LLVM build unreachable. Is that actually like capital LLVM build? I don't see.
Yeah. There's an example in gencall.c. that you could copy from look at if you want.
Okay, here we go. I don't know why I wasn't finding that with a search.
It can sometimes be, sometimes searching the LLVM C API is harder than searching the C++ API.
Okay, I added a comment to the effect.
Cool.
Of this, I'm going to do, doesn't need discussion, doesn't need investigation, good first issue, help wanted, boom, 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 boom.
All right. With that, we will wrap up today. And thank you everyone for attending and those listening along to the recording later. We'll see you next time.